no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this
every Thursday at this time, it's time for your favorite game. Silly Underdog Picks. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, how you doing?
Man, I am feeling good, boss.
Are you?
So good. Because, man, I went and I had a conversation with myself. I said, Chris, you got two choices, get better. And we're getting better, baby. I feel like the Minnesota Vikings right now. I'm 0-2, but guess what? Sky's the limit, baby. Here I come.
Well, I'm impressed by that answer because if we were playing tic-tac-toe, you have a lot of X's, so you'd probably win that game.
You got a couple of points. Now you're talking bad to me. You got 12 points?
12 and a half to be exact.
Okay, thank you. I'm coming back. At the end of this whole thing, I'll at least have about 72.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. I had to talk to myself.
Mark that down.
All right, so Chris has had a conversation with
himself. He's going to pick Campbell or something this weekend.
This is the motivator. He has had a conversation with himself. So is yourself Coach Chris?
One is Coach Chris and one is Dwayne. So I'm like, Dwayne, are you ready? That's my middle name. Dwayne, are you ready? And I turn back. Dwayne said back to me, yes, I is. He didn't say, yes, I am. He said, yes, I is. So that means he's ready.
Okay. Well, quite an inspirational story there from forever Titan Chris Sanders. Let's bring in the former QB, Kelly Holcomb. Kelly, what do you make of that? I don't know what Chris just did.
I'm just sitting here vomiting in my mouth. I mean, like, Chris is just like it's unbelievable, man. Hey, good luck with those 72 points, too, Hoss.
Okay.
Good luck with it. I mean, you lucked up last year, and you had a good run, man. But 72 points, good luck.
All right, I'm coming back. I love you, Kelly.
Whatever.
Was that you or Dwayne? Who said that?
That was Dwayne. Dwayne. So that's our new alter ego.
Is that his civil multiple personality complex? Is that what this is?
Yes, it is. It really is.
All right, let's turn it over to the commissioner and get us out of this mess that we're in. Willie Donick, the commish. Willie, oh, Willie D.
Willie D. Ooh, oh, 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 Willie. Greetings, everybody, and welcome back to Silly Underdog Picks 2020. This is your commissioner speaking. It was another great week of competition on the gridiron, college football, steadily moving towards a fuller schedule. The SEC will join the group this weekend. We have 2 weeks in the books for the insiders and for our online contest. So let's check in with that. You can keep playing at thegamenashville.com. Just check it out every week. Play Silly Underdogs with us. Play Pick 6 with us. We want all of you participating. Let's look at the most popular picks last week in our contest. One blew away everybody, 43%. Getting close to half of our audience selected Georgia Tech against Central Florida. That did not come through, as we're going to find out. We'll talk about that game in detail in just a moment. But everybody kind of jumped on that one. The second most popular, 30% of the audience, selected Navy. Now, that was a winner. So the audience, the masses were smart there. And then third was North Texas. If I got this right? Yes, North Texas against SMU, that was 23% of the audience. So play every week at thegamenashville.com. Now, the winner, who made the right choice? Well, it came down to a tiebreaker this week, and the winner was Rob Sherrill from Franklin, Tennessee. He had 28 points. He tied Angel McKee. 28 for the three picks. But he wins the tiebreaker with the Kansas City Chiefs score. So congratulations to Rob. He wins the weekly prize. Again, thegamenashville.com. Search for Silly Underdog Picks, and you make three picks a week, college, pro, combined. You can go three pro, three college, whatever you choose. Now, let's look at the insiders. For week two, Chase McCabe had first pick, and he selected Thundering Herd of Marshall, a 4.5-point dog playing number 24, Appalachian State. So for the second straight week, Chase picked against App State, and this time he comes through with a victory. Marshall wins at 17-7. Chase was fired up throughout the afternoon. A lot of texting amongst the group.
Yeah.
A lot of tweeting. But Chase picks up 4.5 points. Chase, congrats.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. And I knew it was going to be good because Kelly said I sucked. I heard the groan from the panel, and so I felt good about my pick. And the thundering herd, they got it done.
That's the first time you've ever watched Marshall in your life.
Exactly.
That's not true.
You didn't watch any games with Randy Moss back
in
the year?
Yeah,
that's not true. I have seen We Are Marshall. That's a great movie.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey, yeah. Great story.
I can't say anything because you and Kelly, those are the two picks I wanted. I was begging, just please let one of them get to three, and they didn't. So
didn't fall. You guys. Didn't happen.
Goodbye, you guys.
But it ended up being something that Kelly should be happy about because that left Kelly the second pick, and he selected Navy, a 7-point dog at Tulane. And Navy pulls off the win, 27-24. They righted the ship, if you will, after a poor first game performance.
Do you know what was going on in
that game? Well, tell us the story.
Kelly, I'll let you tell it. It's your game.
No, don't tell me, because here's the deal. For the second week in a row, I was watching it, and I got so frustrated that I stopped watching it at halftime. So
tell them what the score was.
Because I think it was 24-0.
Yes.
Yep.
It was 24-0.
Here's the deal. It's Army, and you know the kind of style Army plays, and they can't score very fast. So I'm like, this game's over.
Well, it's Navy, and, but Army would also be Army, in that
Navy,
category.
Navy, yeah, Navy. So you know they played bad against the week before or 2 weeks before, but you know I was like, there's no way that they could come back. I mean, it's pouring down rain, which that helps them obviously, but like 24-0, there's no way they can come back. And then I look at the end and I'm like, they came back. And I think isn't that the biggest comeback they've ever had?
Oh, it's got to be 24-0 at the half. Look, I'll admit, Kelly, I was with you. I was sending text messages to people going, how did Navy football get so bad?
Get so bad. Absolutely.
I didn't even watch the second half. I didn't know till you sent the text. And I was like, what's he talking about? And then I went and looked at the score. I was like, oh, my goodness. You've
Came
got
back.
To be kidding me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
So Kelly gets 7 big points because of it. That brings us to Chris
Congrats.
Sanders,
the
defending champion. He went big again. He went for a second straight week up to upstate New York and took the Syracuse Orange, 21.5-point underdog at Pitt, number 25. Mm-hmm. Syracuse hung around.
Yeah,
they were right
in
the game, not too far back. You know, didn't get blown out. Lost 21-10, so covered easily. But in our contest, for those that are new, no points for a cover. The underdog must win outright. So, Chris?
I gave him all, so I tried. But, hey, you lose some, you win one. But Dwayne said he's coming back, so just hang in there.
Okay. Syracuse is an
is that
underdog
the Rock?
Again, just so you know.
That Dwayne? Like his bank account.
Well, we'll see if there's a Miami pick in our future somewhere.
Yeah, there it is.
And then finally, Darren McFarland in the college round selected Georgia Tech, 7.5-point dog. This is the second straight week that Darren went with Tech. That got him a win in week one and threw him into the lead. But Georgia Tech faltered this week as a home dog, 7.5 to UCF. So the Golden Knights, 14th ranked in the country, win going away with an explosive fourth quarter, 49-21. UCF continues. If you're sort of a mediocre Power 5, UCF over the last few years has had great success against those teams and most of the other teams they play in their league. So UCF wins it. Darren gets the loss.
Well, you said it. They got aggressive in the fourth quarter, and they blew their doors off in the fourth quarter. So good for them.
Then the new wrinkle this year, of course, the pro ranks. All of the insiders get a college pick and a pro pick. Darren, off of his Georgia Tech selection, went down to Miami and took the Dolphins, a 5.5-point dog against the Bills, and they got outgunned. The Bills racked up a ton of passing yardage, well over 300. Bills win it 31-28. So Darren, after 2 weeks, is 1-3, but still holds the lead in the competition with 12.5 points. Thanks to Georgia Tech's win over Florida State. in week one.
You said it. Miami just could not score enough. I mean, every time they got close, well, actually, they took the lead. Buffalo would just come right back.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs had a humongous day, and so did Josh Allen. Chris Sanders, the sheriff in town, the defending champion, went with the Texans, 7-point dog, hoping for a bounce back after they got beat by the Chiefs on opening night. They got thrashed by the Ravens at home, 33-16.
Wow.
So the sheriff is in town, but he's 0-4.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks for the confidence. But I feel real good about myself right now.
Hey, all right, Dwayne.
Dwayne's talking. Yeah, we're gonna be all right. But we good. We made a bad choice, but guess what? Another week is ahead of us.
That's true.
That's Dwayne talking, buddy.
That's loser talk. Yep,
looking ahead. He's turning the page. He's turning the page. Great. Meanwhile, the Ravens are really good. The Ravens look very stout.
They really do. They look really good.
Kelly Holcomb went to the Vikings.
Blasted.
Yikes.
A 3-point dog at the Colts. Of course, the Vikings taking on the Titans this weekend. And the Vikings, that's one of the stories, a team that has been a solid playoff team the last couple of years. Not looking so good so far. They lose in Indy 28-11, and they sputtered all over the place, especially offensively. Kelly, what happened?
I have no idea. I don't know what's happened to them. You know, that's I would have given the George a lock. That would have been my lock. But good gracious, they're really bad right now. They're just not playing good. I don't know what the deal is, man. But hey, that was not a very good pick, obviously.
Kirk Cousins, 100 yards passing on the road. That probably won't get it done.
No, that's not going to get it done in the pros now.
Especially when he's scoring.
Navy can get by with that, but in the pros,
we should have called that the Kelly Holcomb Bowl, as a matter of fact, because Kelly, with the two teams that he did play for, the wrong one won in this case.
Yep, you're correct.
All right, we move on to Chase. The final pick, he had the Patriots, a 4-point dog on the road in Seattle against the Seahawks, a classic game, a great Sunday night showing, came down to the final play, as most of you, I'm sure, listening are aware of by now. And
Kevin
Cam
Dyson
Newton got stopped at the one-yard line on the final play.
Yeah,
none of y'all liked that pick. You were going, didn't have it, and laughed at me, and almost.
Hey, 1 yard, man. Gosh, 1 yard.
So after 2 weeks, we have Darren McFarland still in the lead at 1-3, 12.5 points. Second place, Chase McCabe, picking up points this week. He now is just 1 point back. He's got two victories for a total of 11.5 points. Remember, it's all about the points. It's not the number of wins. You get rewarded for the bigger underdog that you pick. Kelly Holcomb right there in third place, 10 points, just 2.5 back. And Chris Sanders, the defending champion, in a hole right now at 0-4, but still a long way to go, especially with two picks per week. That could change the entire strategy of this. So when we come
just
back.
Just take Vandy this week. It'll be good.
Well,
you don't tell my pick, man.
There's some big dogs out there. Vanderbilt was good to Chris last year. Vanderbilt was very good to Chris last year, let's not forget. So when we come back, we'll find out which way the guys go in week number 3. Remember, you can play online at thegamenashville.com. Kelly has the first pick. When we come back here on Silly Underdog Picks, 102.5 The Game.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It is time to make the picks for week 3 of the Silly Underdog Contest here on 102.5 The Game. 2 weeks in the books. Darren McFarland with a slim lead. We move on now to week 3. Here is the order of picking. It'll be Kelly Holcomb leading it off. Chris Sanders in the two-hole, Darren McFarland third, Chase McCabe will have picks 4 and 5, the final pick in the college, and then the first pick in the pros. Darren, Chris, and Kelly will then round it out as we snake around. Let's start with Kelly Holcomb for the leadoff man.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Navy.
Well, I've always been kind of a big home dog guy, but since this COVID-19 craziness, there's nobody in the stands. So I think I'm going to go to the ACC, and I'm going to say North Carolina State beats Virginia Tech.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh.
That's not where I thought you were going.
North Carolina State. I was wondering if, well, Chris hasn't picked yet, so let's wait and see on that one. He likes to go to the ACC. I'm looking for that game.
It's a 7-point game.
I am overlooking it right now.
Dude, you sure you're on the right week, Mr. Kelly?
I'm on the right week.
No, he is.
Oh, there it is. 6.5.
Yep.
Virginia Tech, 6.5.
Seven on my screen.
Yep.
You're jipping me a half a point.
Commissioner, what do you have?
Well, we're using CBS as our gauge.
6.5.
Okay, 6.5. Go for it.
Ah, here we go. Yes,
a
night game. Yes, North Carolina State is on the road, a 6.5-point dog in Hokie Land against Virginia Tech. Blacksburg, Virginia, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. ACC now.
Willie's obviously still on the dial-up system at his house.
He was until a few weeks ago.
No, he just got new Wi-Fi, so he's actually sped the process up.
Can't use that as an excuse anymore.
He's got a pretty phone.
I mean, good gracious. Get with the times, Willie.
That was not exactly Quick Draw McGraw right there. Let's go to Chris
think?
Sanders. Still looking for his first win of the season.
Not anymore.
This music's worked out well.
Oh, wow.
Nope.
All right. I am going with Van. No, negative. I am going with. I am going with.
Texas. He almost said it.
I'm going with Texas Tech over Texas. Let's go, baby.
Hmm.
Texas Tech. Is it 18-point dog?
So I didn't laugh. I just said
Chris
hmm.
Sanders. Chris Sanders, in his three picks so far, has
Thanks,
taken Syracuse as a 23-point dog. Syracuse is a 21.5, and he has gone very conservative this week with Texas Tech, an 18-point home dog against number 8 Texas.
Let's go, Vandy!
Gosh.
All right, on to Chase.
Wow. All right, nope. So no comments on the Red Raiders there?
No.
At 18? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like, I don't even know what he's doing. Like, there's no rhyme or reason.
Hey, who won last year?
I understand it, dude, but, hey, that was last year, bro.
It's a totally
you
different
got
situation.
Got a new team.
Year,
new defensive coordinator. I mean, things have changed.
You got a bunch of free agents, dude, that you have not
Watch.
Yet.
Now, hey, when I win – I'm calling you at 2 in the morning, and I'm just going to yell loud as
okay,
I can.
Okay, 72, though. Good luck with that.
Thanks, buddy. Love you, too. That's Dwayne talking. Love you, too.
All right. That brings us to Darren McFarland, the surging Cleveland Indians, by the way. His inspiration are in the playoffs and still have a shot at first place in the AL Central. So hit the music maestro.
Be a believer in Syracuse. You picked the wrong week, Chris. You've been off by a week.
Oh my God!
I'm gonna take the Cuse. Give me orange plus 8. Yeah, yeah.
Darren, do you have like some sort of mole in the Georgia Tech football office or something?
This is the week, and this is where Chris gets sick when we recap next week, and he's like, "Man, and now Syracuse wins." Yep, this is the week.
Syracuse is an 8-point home dog in the Carrier Dome against Georgia Tech. So Darren has picked Georgia Tech's two straight weeks, and now he picks against Georgia Tech. Syracuse has been picked all 3 weeks as a dog.
This is the week. Chris will
be
sick.
If you win, we are not friends.
Remember when Kelly said he was throwing up in his mouth? You'll be throwing up in your mouth when we review next week.
I will never talk to you again. I'm putting bad stuff on Facebook. Talk about you real bad.
That's an 11 a.m. game on Saturday. That is worth following there because there will be a lot of soap opera stuff there if Syracuse comes up victorious. That brings us to Chase McCabe. He has the next two picks, the final pick of college and then on to the pros.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right. For my first pick for college, I'm going to the SEC. The SEC kicks off. I got a feeling. Give me the Wildcats. Kentucky plus 7.5.
I've thought about it.
A pair of top 25 teams.
I thought you would take it, to be honest with you.
It was that game or the Cuse.
Kentucky, ranked number 23, is a 7.5-point dog at number 8, Auburn. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff on SEC Network. Very intriguing. Auburn's had a lot of issues with players not available to practice, but they do have a lot of talent. Kentucky, you know, are they for real? This is a good question, a kind of a sleeper team. This is a great game. This is going to be a fun game.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you very much.
I didn't say you're going to win necessarily. I just think it's going to be a game worth watching for sure.
And now for my NFL pick. Going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Give me the Chiefs.
Gotta like that. No, yeah, of course.
I mean, well, this is of course, the featured game on the docket for the NFL this week. Monday Night Football. Two great teams, maybe the two best teams in all of football. The Chiefs, the defending champions, playing in Baltimore against the Ravens. The Chiefs are a 3.5-point dog. It's one of the rare times you would have a chance to pick the Chiefs in our contest.
Gotta like it.
Great pick. Great
yep.
pick.
Thank you.
So,
all right. That brings us to Darren McFarland for his pro pick.
Well, Chase, you took Kentucky. So I'm going to go. I'm going to.
Don't do it. A
little payback. A little payback for you.
Please don't.
I thought you would take them, but I'll take Dallas plus 5.
Oh, I'm good.
Dallas plus 5. Take your Cowboys.
I mean, so annoying, I've thought about it, but Kansas City is as close to the sure thing as I'm going to get, so I had to go. I had to take it.
Very important game here. The 325 game on Fox. The Dallas Cowboys are a 5-point dog on the road against the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. That one promises to be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Now Kelly is scrambling.
That brings us to Chris Sanders, the sheriff, the defending champion, for his pro pick.
What's the biggest line out there?
I'm going with Cleveland over Washington.
Cleveland's the favorite.
No, that's the wrong one. I meant Houston to Pittsburgh. I'm sorry, I looked at the wrong one. Houston at Pittsburgh. I'm going with Houston. I picked the wrong one. I got scared.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Kind of messed up. That was
Houston plus 4.
Yeah. Is it Houston?
The Texans are the second straight week that Chris has taken the Texans. They faltered last week against the Ravens. Now a very difficult spot to be in. They're 0-2 against the 2-0 Steelers in Pittsburgh, trying to avoid 0-3. And the Texans are a 4-point dog. By the way, do you guys think that that's a little low, like for 0-2
yes.
Texans,
yes.
Steelers? I mean,
yes.
That just shows you a little faith
like
in the Texans.
It's tough, though. That's probably why it's so low.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a touchdown. 6 or 7.
I thought it'd be a little higher. I don't know if about 7, but at least 5, 6. Okay, that brings us to Kelly Holcomb, final pick of the week.
Well, Darren, you know, he's Darren Light with taking picks. Yeah. My pick.
That's for Navy last week.
I knew when you started talking Chase, I'm like, he's got Dallas. Good Lord. you know what? It's not very much, but I'm gonna go with the right arm of Aaron Rodgers over the New Orleans Saints.
I was wondering if somebody would take that.
A good NFC matchup right here. You have Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, a 3-point dog on the road against the Saints, who dropped to 1-1 after that loss to the Raiders in Vegas on Monday.
All right.
Ooh-wee.
Only thing I don't like about it, Kelly, is Drew Brees is getting told he's not good all weekend.
No, I've already, you know, it was that or Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay going to Denver, and
yeah,
you don't know where Tampa Bay is right now. So I just think, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been throwing the ball all over the place. They've scored like how many points? Like 80 points or something in the first two games.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right.
Nobody took the Jets at 11.5. That could have been a big one.
Yeah, it's all right.
They play on Saturdays or Sundays?
They're playing Sunday.
They're an NFL team? Okay.
They play Wednesday nights.
Hey, on Madden, they're facing the Titans in the division round of the playoffs. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
Shows you how accurate that is.
All right.
I get the feeling the Giants and the Jets are going to be available picks many weeks in our competition going forward here.
Let's review quickly.
On to the review. Week 3, silly underdog picks here on 102.5 The Game. Play along with us at home by going to thegamenashville.com. Let's get those numbers going. The SEC joins the group this week. Here are the picks. Kelly Holcomb, right now in third place, just 2.5 points off the pace, takes the North Carolina State Wolfpack. 6.5 point dogs in Blacksburg, Virginia, against the 20th-ranked Virginia Tech Hokies. Chris Sanders, the defending champion, looking for his first win, takes Texas Tech in true Chris Sanders form, a big dog, 18 points against the Texas Longhorns, ranked number 8. Darren McFarland, coming off a winless week, but he's still in the lead with 12.5 points. He takes the Orange of Syracuse, an 8-point home dog against Georgia Tech. Darren clearly has intelligence in the Georgia Tech camp somewhere. We have to investigate this. Chase McCabe, with the final college pick, goes to the SEC. It's great to have an SEC game to pick. He takes Kentucky, ranked 23rd, going into their first game. 7.5 point dogs at Auburn, ranked number 8. Then, on to the pros. Chase selects the Chiefs, a rare underdog, 3.5 points, at the Ravens in the big Monday night shebang. Pair of 2-0 teams. Darren McFarland takes the Cowboys, a 5-point dog on the road in Seattle against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Then Chris Sanders came with the 0-2 Texans for a second straight week. 4-point dogs trying to avoid an 0-3 start against the 2-0 Steelers in Pittsburgh. And then finally, Kelly Holcomb. The final pick of the week, he goes with the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers and company, a 3-point dog playing on the road in the dome against the New Orleans Saints. Remember, GameNashville.com. Make your picks, 3 of any kind, college or pro, and make them before kickoff of the college games. Those are our picks for week number 3. Welcome, SEC. And gentlemen, good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner.
All right, guys. Good stuff.
Hey, a little more love for the Commissioner this week. I don't know. Well, I must be doing something right. I must
be
living right.
On the way out. Forever Titan Chris Sanders, former quarterback.
Nobody made it on
Kelly
scene
Holcomb.
Sound or anything.
Nope.
Nobody, you know.
Chase
luck,
McCabe.
Guys. You guys are going to do well.
Hey, good luck, guys, on Friday.
Thanks, bud.
All right, fellas.
All right, we'll see you. We'll come back. There's been an SEC head coach get a raise. An SEC head coach get a raise. And he's in this state. We'll tell you who on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've really appreciated you playing along with us over the years. Your participation has been outstanding, but we need those numbers to grow. A little down right now, and they've been really high for a good while. But I get it. The schedule's been kind of light, but we've had this NFL attached to it where you've had those 16 games every week. We want you participating. We need you to get on thegamenashville.com or on the app. And make your picks with us. We need to get those numbers up. We've always enjoyed doing this over the years, and we feel like you have too, because, like I said, the numbers have been really good over the years, but we're down a little bit, so we need to get those up. Play along with us. It's free and easy, man. Free and easy, and it's fun.
And Cliff wanted me to pass along that we are, with postponements and cancellations, we're trying our best to stay on top of that, but there are points where it's locked in and there could be a game that gets postponed last minute. So just be aware of that, that we're trying our best to make sure that those are on there. But I know last week I think there was one that we had already locked the contest in and the game was there. So just keep up with the schedule of what gets postponed.
Yep. All right, let's start on the SEC coach who's just been given a contract extension and a raise, and he's in this state. Who do you guys think it is? Is it Derek Mason or Jeremy Pruitt?
I'm going to guess it's Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, if that's your guess.
I'm going to say neither.
You say neither. Well, no, I'm
telling
you.
It's an SEC coach in the state, Willie.
I'm telling you, an SEC coach in the state has just gotten a raise.
Unless Memphis joined the SEC and I didn't know about it.
Oh. I have no idea.
Yeah, it is indeed Jeremy Pruitt. He has been given an extension for another 2 years. So his contract can run through 2025. He's also going to get a $400,000 raise starting next year, and that just coming out from Philip Fulmer, who, of course, is the AD. So a lot of expectations, right? The Jeremy Pruitt, everybody knows the job him and his staff have been doing on the recruiting trail, but it's all going to start Saturday night with these expectations. And I'll tell you what, we know this weird has been year, or this year, this weird
what?
Has been year. This year has been weird. We get it. But you don't get, you know, you don't have expectations. You don't get a raise before you played a game and an extension with expectations and go 5-5 and expect everybody to be happy. I get it. It's all conference play, but it's a big one. This is a big game on Saturday. They got to beat. If you're talking about having a special season ranked right now, you got to beat South Carolina, right?
Yep. It's as
simple
as that.
Goes without saying.
It's a swing game. It's a big swing game. There's no doubt about it. As Paul Feinbaum had a great way of saying that. We've known this for years, but these are always such important games, not necessarily for the national title picture, not necessarily to who's going to win the league. But it's like when you lose that swing game and you're saying, oh, we're 0-1 and we still got to play XYZ, the top teams in the league, that's what really stings when you lose that. So this is one of those games, right? The winner of this game is going to feel great. The loser of this game, the fans are going to say, we can't even beat X. You know, that's all we've got. So this is life in the SEC. These games.
Yeah, and I think we don't know. I mean, we can sit here and go, all right, well, South Carolina's probably not that good. You don't know. People can't go watch practice, and you're just based on you're basing everything on guessing and what you're reading. But with all that said, with what Tennessee's bringing back, with South Carolina and all their questions, I mean, this is a should win for Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee.
But see, that's the dangerous thing. It's a should win in the mind of a Tennessee fan, but the reality is they're a 3.5-point favorite, right?
Yep.
That's not a big line. I mean, it's significant because you're on the road. Of course, there's no crowd.
There's a small crowd. Was it 25,000, he told us? Josh Kendall?
But it's hardly – when you say should win, in my mind, I think of like a 2-touchdown favorite, especially in college. Right, but they're a 3.5-point favorite.
No, see, and when I say should win, I mean, I don't care if it's by a point. It's just whoever. I mean, I'm saying that Tennessee's score should be larger than South Carolina's score. I don't care about style points and all of that, like they do in college. But I think this is one where they should go on the road. I mean, they've named Garantano the quarterback, so he's got experience. It's time for him to go to another level. You have a lot of guys that are coming back. Yes, you have some holes that you're trying to fill and some new faces, but I believe that they should go on the road and they should get it done. Now, can they put it all together?
Spot to be in. This is another thing that I'm looking for is with the SEC taking the extra time to push the start of the season back, they've had a chance to practice more, although we all know that there have been a lot of players that haven't been available to practice. So what does the quality of play look like in the first game? Especially, you know, it's a little easier for teams that are a heavy favorite. Like, you know, you've got Texas A&M gets to play Vanderbilt in the first game. They're a 30-point favorite. So even if things kind of go wrong and they don't look super sharp, they still they'd be hard-pressed not to win that game. Vanderbilt would have to shock the heck out of the nation to have a chance to win that game based on what we think we know. But that's why you play the games. For Tennessee, if you come out and play a bad game and you're not sharp for a half, that could cost you the game. And this is everybody's first game. There's a little bit of, what are we going to see?
Can I be negative, Nancy, for
Why
just a
second?
Why
is he so negative?
Or Debbie Downer?
Why is Darren so negative?
Hey!
I love the show.
Drop it.
But why is Darren so negative?
Thank you, Peter.
Okay, I've got a little bit of concern with this story.
Okay.
Is this the right... Let me start with first concern. Is this the right time to be announcing a football coach raise?
I didn't want to be the one to say it, but I did think about that.
Okay. Mm. I mean, I'm saying it. I said, okay, I'm going to be the Debbie Downer here. I'm going to be negative Nancy. Is this the time to be doing that? Is this a good time to be announcing your football coach, albeit it doesn't kick in till 2021?
I got
to
tell you.
Is this really the time to be announcing that in a global pandemic?
I don't think everybody's gone through in this country? Let's ask it this way. Do you know anybody? Because I think my answer is no. I'm pretty sure. I don't know anybody who's gotten a raise since this happened.
I do not know anybody who's gotten a raise. Nope. I know plenty of people that have been working no problems, no issues, just, you know, business as usual from home, but no, you know, no pay raise. I know people have been working without a pay reduction or a furlough or anything else that people
have
experienced.
But I know a lot more people that have had a reduction, even if they are working just as many hours.
But I don't know anybody who's received a raise.
Right.
I don't know anybody that has a raise.
I think this is – that's poor timing. Okay? That's point number one. Number two, albeit, yes, I just said it, he's been getting tons of praise, rightfully so, and his staff with what they're doing on the recruiting trail. Is there this dire need right now in 2020 to give Jeremy Pruitt an extension of two more years to 2025? Like, you're in danger of losing him? What is the rush?
I completely agree.
What are you doing? Like, there's nobody knocking down the door to get Jeremy Pruitt. What are you trying to get out in front of? His contract is up in 2023.
He hasn't achieved anything
big
yet.
That's my point. He hasn't achieved anything yet.
They did this with Butch Jones, and a lot of people in retrospect thought that was premature, and it put him in a big bind for buyouts. But at least he had a season where they won like 9 games, I think, before they did it. I'd have to go back and look at exactly, but it's kind of like they're going down that same road.
Right.
I agree. What was the hurry to have to do
what
it?
What was the rush for
Jeremy?
They're not going
to lose
his body of work
right
now.
He's not going anywhere.
Right. He's not going anywhere. What are you in the rush to do this right now in 2020? Why? What is the point of this today?
I don't know.
I guess it's a former coach instilling confidence in his current coach, right? It's like, as a coach, you love
that they believe in him. Oh, so his contract through 2023 isn't enough to give him confidence?
I agree with you. I'm just
like,
trying to
ridiculous.
Put myself in the shoes of Philip Fulmer.
And if he needs
that's ridiculous.
This is
premature. This is a premature move. Unnecessary.
I mean, if he doesn't have enough confidence based on just how last year started and then ended, and I don't think you need a contract extension to do that either.
I agree. I can't imagine an agent went to Philip Fulmer and said, hey, you need to extend my guy or else he's going to leave. Like, there's no leverage. He doesn't have any leverage to do that. This was different. This has to be just Philip Fulmer taking the initiative And I don't know what the motivation is.
But why do you have to take the initiative? I mean, it does feel very random. It just like out of left field of, oh, here's a contract extension for Jeremy Pruitt. It wasn't even on my mind. It wasn't on anybody's mind based on 2020. But I'm glad you brought that point up, Darren. I mean, because I was kind of thinking it too. I was with Willie that it was like, okay, kind of weird. Because usually we'll announce a contract extension and it's, you know, okay, good for him, or I don't really agree with that. I mean, that's the conversation. But that certainly has changed in today's climate. So I don't know.
I'm going to have to say this is poor timing by Philip Fulmer. I don't understand this. I don't understand why you would announce a pay raise. And like I said, I get it. It kicks in 2021. People aren't getting pay raises in 2020. Why even announce it now? What is the point of announcing it now? And two, why? Why are you doing this? His contract is up in 2023. You tacked on two more years? Like what? You're in danger of losing Jeremy Pruitt? Right now he has no leverage whatsoever. None. He's done nothing other than win recruiting battles. Okay, that's great. Butch Jones did too. And his winning wasn't good enough. And Jeremy Pruitt hasn't achieved the winning of Butch Jones. Are you giving him a raise because he beat Indiana in a bowl game? Really?
Right.
And maybe, you know, after this year or this year and next year, everybody's going to be like, wow, that was brilliant by Philip Fulmer. That was just brilliant to lock him up. Man, he's the hottest commodity going. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. I think, Willie, that was the best way of putting it. Like, Tennessee's been down this road before, paying off coaches. Like you need to get out of the business of these long-term contracts for guys that haven't proven anything. If you have Nick Saban as your coach or Dabo Swinney as your coach or Urban Meyer as your coach, guys that have been there and done it, and their resume speaks for themselves, and you know you've got one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in college football, according to everybody, then yeah, nobody's going to question giving it to those guys. But Jeremy Pruitt? Really? You felt the need to rush in a global pandemic to give Jeremy Pruitt two more years on to 2025?
And let's also not forget that at this time last year, there was a total panic. There was Philip Fulmer's going to come back and take the job. Remember how, it's crazy how it changes in a span of 1 year. I mean, that was happening. That was a year ago. That wasn't 2 or 3 years ago. That was 1 year ago, the rumors that Philip Fulmer wants to replace. I never bought it, but this is how crazy it was getting. When they lost to, Georgia State in the first game.
Well, they lost to Georgia State and then BYU,
and then
right?
The bad loss to BYU, the miracle pass that all of a sudden stole a game. He's gone. It's over. He's not the guy. Right? It's the same guy. And he's done some nice things, but this is only 1 year after that. We still have a lot of the story. We're still at chapter one, or at the very earliest chapter two, or very latest chapter two. You're that sold? I don't know. It's strange. The guy could end up being a great coach, don't get me wrong. But
yeah, but
he's
you got to see more.
Removed from, hey, he's the wrong guy. People had made up their mind.
Yeah, we were talking about, is he going to get fired in the first couple weeks last year? I have to read this text from Kevin on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I agree with Wiley Donish. A 3-point favorite ain't much, can go anyway. And so what if Pruitt gets a raise? You, Darren, wouldn't complain if you got a raise. That's from Kevin.
That's not the point.
It's not the point at all. It's not the point at all.
Good job, Wiley.
I've been called Wiley before.
You have.
I mean, I guess if you don't care, I mean, sure, if you're not a donor or there's nothing attached to you, why would anybody care? But it's just the point. It's the optics. The optics are bad. They're bad. This is not the time to be announcing a contract extension and a pay raise to a guy that hasn't done anything in the middle of a pandemic.
Well, especially when you have, and this may not be the case at Tennessee.
Tennessee's going to lose millions upon millions of dollars this year, just like every other program in the SEC this year.
And there are other sports that are in jeopardy, you know, of either they're going to have to cut budgets big time, or in a lot of cases, you know, there have been teams that have been wiped out. And so that is, but you can raise the football coach. That you're going to have to be prepared to face that, right?
Yes.
Yep. Another text says, just maybe Fulmer is not really all that bright in business, and it's always easy to spend somebody else's money.
Well, I think this a lot of is what Willie brought up is there's no doubt that coach taking care of coach, and that's what you get when you've got a former coach as an AD. I'm sure that is in play without knowing. I'm sure that is a part of it. But, I mean, come on. If he really needs you need to show you've shown confidence. You hired a guy who used to be a high school coach to be an SEC football coach.
Oh, and you
who had never been
him.
A head coach in his life.
And
you've already shown the confidence, and he's got a contract through 2023.
And to his credit, Philip Fulmer backed the heck out of Jeremy Pruitt last year when there were a lot of people calling for Philip Fulmer to replace him. Philip Fulmer said, no, I will. He had to come out publicly and said, I am not going back on the sideline. And Chase, you have to admit, you were throwing that narrative out there. And there was plenty of Tennessee fans that didn't think it was a bad idea. Right? And he was the one that backed Jeremy Pruitt. So that,
right.
How can you not feel loyal? I mean, that goes to the narrative. There's no reason to feel like you had to throw him some sort of loyalty bone right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree. It just doesn't look the optics aren't very good on all of this.
I just kind of shake my head. I don't really understand. I'll be curious to hear the reaction in Knoxville when we talk to Vince Ferrara on Monday about this. It'll be curious what's being said on the sports animal.
Tell me how the game goes Saturday, too.
That's a very good point. I mean, that's a really really good point.
If they go into Columbia and
get shellacked? If they win 38-3, nobody will care. Everybody will be like, yeah, great move, great move. If they lose the game, that's a good point. Let's wait till see what shakes out Saturday night. And there will be your answer for Monday. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the final hour with Elliot Freeman. We'll switch gears, talk a little hockey with him coming up. That's next. He's from Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts. We'll do it next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.